Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No better way to check out what is going on leading into what everyone's talking about, the great game of baseball tonight, than listening to right here all day long. It has been great conversation. It's going to continue. I don't know why you would flip the dial. It baffles me when you're talking about going away from WEEI right now, because right now I'm sitting here at Minute Maid Park in the Red Sox radio broadcast booth looking at the Houston Astros, actually the Boston Red Sox taking infield. I don't think any other station in Boston's doing that. And you say, what's the big deal? Well, because we just talked to Alex Cora. We just talked to the players. And I can give you all the updates. And I don't have to even read them off Twitter. Let me give some of them to you. All right? Biggest thing. Maybe the biggest thing going forward. Chris Sale. Everyone wants to know about Chris Sale. Well, Chris Sale, they are saying, will be ready for his next start. Whether that start might be, whether that start is in Game 6 Saturday or that start is Game 1 in the World Series. So they felt like he turned the corner. They felt like he turned the corner from yesterday to today. Then later today, Alex Cora said there was a big difference. Yeah, so it was a big, big turning point they felt for Chris Sale. And then in terms of other parts of this game, David Price, full go. They feel David Price will be ready to go. I don't know how long. I got to be honest with you. I don't know how long. I don't think that he's going to go very long. I don't think that you're talking about a guy who's going to go in 8 innings. By the way, 11 years ago to the day, some of you might remember another Game 5. That was when the Red Sox were down 3-1 to the Indians. That was when Josh Beckett took the mound against CC Sabathia. That was when Josh Beckett, 90 feet away from his ex-girlfriend, Daniel Peck, she sang the national anthem by staring right at him. It was potentially the greatest you-know-what you from a team to a player. And Beckett, you know what he said? Thanks for giving my friend a ticket. And then he went out. Just looked it up. 8 innings, 1 run, 11 strikeouts. That was 11 years ago to the day. Obviously, the Red Sox came back from 3-1 after winning that game in Cleveland. That is a lesson. And obviously, this can happen. The teams can come back down from 3-1. You have your ace setting the tone. You feel good. You feel good after winning this game. And then no matter where you go. Now, the Red Sox went home, and the Astros would have to go on the road. But still, the lesson should be learned that can happen. That teams can come back. This is far from a done deal. So, as we said, Justin Verlander tonight going for the Astros, David Price going for the Red Sox. How long will Price go? We'll see. The other interesting part about the equation here, what will happen after David Price? Nathan Eovaldi, absolutely an option. I don't think there's any question that Nathan Eovaldi is going to be in the mix here. If they are either tied or up, I don't think they want to burn Nathan Eovaldi if they're down. Then you start talking about Brandon Workman, Heath Embry. These guys have to be integrated at some point. Another interesting thing from pregame today, we talked about Craig Kimbrel. Kimbrel, I think we have to take a step back here and say, hey, this is the worst that we've seen Craig Kimbrel in his time in Boston. I mean, we've seen bad Craig Kimbrel. We've seen bad outings from Kimbrel. And ineffectual and uncomfortable, but not this sort of run. So we asked Alex Cora about Kimbrel, what's going on here? And they keep saying he's throwing hard, his stuff is good. For the first time, Alex Cora insinuated that he might be tipping his slider, curveball, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people call it a slider, a lot of people call it a curveball, but he might be tipping. He said way too many people are laying off this pitch. You go back to the Yankee series, you look at the Astros, he just feels he's throwing some good ones, and they are laying off of it, and this is making a big, big difference. That's interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they adjust anything when he comes in the game today. Hey, listen, everything's out on the table in terms of Craig Kimbrell. This is not normal. We can't just say Craig Kimbrell can't pitch anymore. As I said, we haven't seen this from Craig Kimbrell at all. Craig Kimbrell, this is not the guy that we had seen for the last 3 years, and they have to fix it. If they don't fix it, then it just can't be, hey, you're the closer, you keep going out there. No, you have to make an adjustment, whether that's Ryan Brazier and Matt Barnes, whatever. In terms of the other relievers, Matt Barnes, the reason he only went to one batter, they felt like they were going using him way too much. That was the impetus there. Just wanted to limit him to that one batter last night. Ryan Brazier obviously did a great job for them. Again, Alex Cora is saying the same thing, guys. Alex Cora is saying the same thing he did last night. All the chips are in. All the chips are into the middle of the table. That's what you saw last night. That's what you saw with David Price. And in case people were wondering about David Price or what he was going to do last night, I know that it had been said after the game, but I think it still wasn't that clear. Basically, if the Astros scored a couple runs in the eighth inning, Price was coming in. If the Red Sox scored a couple runs in the ninth inning, Price was coming in. And finally, if they got to George Springer, which was the hitter after Alex Bregman, Price was coming in. He threw about 20 or 30 pitches out there. You could look at it a couple different ways. Was this too many pitches? Is it too many bullets out of the gun? Price looked at it as, it gave me an opportunity to get off the mound, feel better about what was happening. All right, I think we touched on a lot here heading into this game, setting the scene. So I want to go back to you guys. Some great calls last night. People are fired up. You can do it again tonight. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Joe from Rhode Island. What's going on, Joe?
Hi, brother. How are you?
Hey, Joe.
Just an observation. I've been watching most of the Red Sox games this year on TV with Kimbrell. Earlier in the year when he was very successful, he was throwing fastballs almost all the time, up, down, in and out, placing them, and very, very few sliders or curveballs. Every once in a while he'd throw one in, very effective. I think he's doing just the opposite now. I think he's doing all sliders and throwing a fastball now and then. I think what he's got to do is just throw fastballs a little up, but right over the plate. And he'd be fine. He's got to throw mostly fastballs and then throw that slider in here and there selectively.
Well, Joe, let me pick through what you said. This has always been a challenging thing with Kimbrell because he's a two-pitch pitcher. So it's not like you're Joe Kelly and go to the third and fourth pitch. So you say, just come in with a fastball, a little up, come in with a fastball, a little up, that's fine. Well, Joe, I would say this. What did he do to Bregman? That's exactly what he did to Bregman. And Bregman tomahawked it and almost won the game for him last night.
Yeah. I know.
But I hear you, Joe.
The only thing I can see that.
Yeah, no, Joe, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And, you know, I hear you. This is what we're doing with Kimbrell, is that everyone's grasping at straws, trying to figure it out, including the Red Sox. As I said before, Alex Cora insinuated that part of the problem might be that they're laying off a lot of curveball, sliders, whatever you want to call it, that they aren't laying off in the regular season. And this is going back to the Yankees. Now, the good thing for the Red Sox is that Alex Cora is a guy known throughout baseball as maybe the best in the game in terms of identifying pitch tipping. So he's obviously looking at it, trying to find this. We'll see. But it has to be fixed, because we were talking about this last night, and if it keeps going this way, you can't just keep rolling him out there. I initially said, well, he's your closer, you're going to ride with him. Well, I think Cora kind of said this, is that you can't put one player above the entire team. You can't just say he's the guy because he's been the guy. At some point, you have to adjust. And if we keep seeing this Craig Kimbrell, you have to adjust. Ryan Brazier is a much better option right now. Matt Barnes is a better option. That's just the reality of the situation. And you know what? Maybe Nathan Eovaldi is a better option. Who knows? I am fascinated to see how they're going to potentially use Eovaldi tonight. All right, Kevin from Bridgewater. What's going on, Kevin?
Hello?
Kevin. Hey, Kevin. What's happening?
This is John.
Oh, John. Okay. John from where?
Maine.
Maine, John from Maine. What's happening,
yeah.
John?
So I say I agree with you. I definitely didn't think the Red Sox would be up 3-1, especially after the performances from Price and Sale in the first two games. But the way I look at it, this team has won unconventionally all season long. There were questions surrounding the bullpen. There were questions surrounding David Price once we made it to the playoffs. There were questions surrounding Sale once he went on my injury report. But they've been able to do it with an offensive production machine and Cora making the right decisions at the right time. And they've gotten the swing plays in this series. So, you know, it's people like Jackie Bradley Jr. that have come up big that you would least expect. And as long as they're able to keep doing things like that, I think they got a chance tonight, and I'm hoping to see them in the World Series.
All right, John, thanks for the call. Yeah, you know, you go look at last night's game, and last night was a perfect example of, like, how you couldn't just say, roll out, this is the Boston Red Sox, they're a talented team, and they're going to win the game. They had to adjust. They had to do a lot of adjusting. They had to be resilient. They had to basically get uncomfortable in a lot of different ways against a really good team. And by the way, that really good team, the Houston Astros, they played a pretty good game. They played a really, really good defensive game. It was impressive what they did. So I think that you look at what the Red Sox did and how the Red Sox won, it was one of these things where you are winning in ways that it's just not a blueprint. It's just not, this is how we're doing it. And that, I think, gives you hope for tonight's game. Because on the surface, it's not just, hey, you got this starting pitcher going out there, David Price. He hasn't won in the postseason. You don't feel good. Or maybe you do feel good, but you are relying on your starting pitching. No, that is off the table. That the starting pitcher is such a fraction of the equation now. Look at Rick Porcello last night. Where was he in the conversation? He wasn't great. They still won the game. All right, do we have Kevin from Bridgewater there or no? Kevin, no? Hello? Fred from Dartmouth? Anyone? Fred from Dartmouth.
Yes, I have a couple questions about the Betts play.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We haven't even touched on that. This is Fred, correct?
Yes.
All right, good to talk to you, Fred. All right, what do you got, Fred?
If Betts' glove was over the wall in the stands, what should have been the call?
It should have been a home run.
If it's good, even if he caught it? No.
If he catches it, it's an out. But
right.
Once the rule is, if you look at the rule, once the player goes into the stands, out of the field of play, which would be over the wall, then the fans, my understanding, can't interfere. And so what they were saying, what Joe West was saying, and then the review people agreed with it, was that he was not over the wall. That yellow line, he was not over the wall. And so the fan did interfere, even though his glove was still in the field of play.
Well, my question was, if it's over the wall, can the fans interfere?
Yes.
They can?
Yes.
So what's to stop the fans of a home team to interfere every time, you know, the opponent...
If you're sitting in the crowd and a player jumps in, he leaps in, and his glove goes in, you know what you should do? You should whack his glove.
Exactly. That's crazy. That's the rule.
I thought
years ago, like, catchers would go to the backstop and they get called interference from the fans because they could have caught the ball.
Clearly, if you look at, and thanks for the call, appreciate it. If you look at the explanation, after the fact, the pool reporter goes down and talks to Joe West. Joe West is very clear that he felt, and the review people felt, that he was still, Mookie Betts was still in the field of play. That's what they felt. All right, next up before we head to a break, Steve from Providence. What's going on, Steve?
How are we doing?
Good, man. What's happening?
Not too much. Couple things on Kimbrel. I mean, yeah, he's been shaky the last couple of games, but I don't know maybe he's throwing the sliders because they figured out his fastball. They know it's coming. But it's postseason. You take what you can get. These hitters aren't going to pass up these. Like, you made a good point. They're passing up on the breaking balls in the regular season. It's like, cause just not what you're looking for. Postseason, the ball's over the plate. You're going to take a hack at it. So maybe they figured him out. I don't know. But they're not gonna pass up on Streis anymore. So I don't know what the ultimate solution is, but I don't know if we should be all that worried. But I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I would say this, Steve, is that you have to throw the ball for strikes. You can be tipping your off speed pitch, whatever. But if they're laying off the pitch, well, you're not throwing it in the strike zone. That's fine. You have to throw it in the strike zone, whether it's on the edge of the strike zone or in the strike zone. So you still have to command better if you're Craig Kimbrel. That's what it comes down to.
Exactly. And like you said, they're laying off them in the regular season, but it's crunch time. If it's anything close, you're taking a hack at it now. I mean, it's simple as that.
Well, we saw that with, you know, anything else, Steve, because I was just going to say that we saw that with Alex Bregman. Anything close, that was right on the edge of the top of the strike zone, that fastball. He tomahawked it. He almost won the game. You got anything else?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing with Mookie, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the guy's hands on the wall. I mean, that, I don't know what else you're supposed to say about it. I mean, I think he was leaning in, but I don't know. I mean, I'm from Detroit, live in Prov now. I got to root for JD and Porcello on this one, but I don't know. I'm hoping we can finish it out tonight.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call. You know, it is amazing that we've had the call the other night, the Tony Kemp call against the wall on the Steve Pierce fly ball. And then we have that play with Mookie Betts last night. There is a lot going on. Obviously, we have the cheating stuff that was integrated in the whole thing. We have the time of game. Oh, my goodness, how long that game was last night. And that the problem with baseball in that regard. So there's a lot to pick through with this series. And now we're sitting here, everybody, and David Price is starting a Game 5, a game that can lead the Red Sox to the World Series. And I wrote about this today. It doesn't feel that way. And I feel almost because there's nothing left to say about David Price. There's nothing left to say about him. And I felt like kind of like the last outing. Last outing didn't define anything with David Price. It was like, yeah, it was okay. It was good enough. But it didn't define anything. And I think that people are just sort of exhausted about this David Price thing. If he gets lit up, all right, well, yes, I guess he can't pitch in the postseason. Or if he gets lit up, because maybe it was on 3 days rest. Or if he pitches really well, okay, yeah, good. They pitches really well. The Red Sox are going to the World Series, and David Price was part of it. How much is David Price is going to be part of the conversation? If David Price goes out and wins today, it's a nice side note. But obviously, if he wins today, the Red Sox are going to the World Series. This isn't the headline. David Price finally does it. And that's insane. Anyway, 617-779-7937. I'm going to be with you all the way up into Red Sox pregame with Mike Mananski. Then obviously Joe and Tim in the call. We have Joe strapped down. He's not going to fall out of his seat. He's strapped in. He's ready to roll. So it's good. Joe and Tim ready to make an epic call tonight. Like I said, with the epic pregame coming up before that, we'll be with you. We'll be right back after this. All right, that's Alex Cora meeting with the media just a little while ago, talking about Craig Kimbrel. We talked a lot about him, and Cora, we had the local media session and insinuated a little more pointedly about perhaps with Kimbrel, it's about tipping the pitches with that breaking ball. We'll see. I mean, he also said fastball command, the whole ball of wax, everything's on the table when it comes to Craig Kimbrel. You have to get the guy back that you had before, that you've had for the majority of the last 3 years. This is the worst stretch I think we've seen of him in a Red Sox uniform. I don't think there's any question about that. It's coming at a bad time. But we've also seen where he's turned a corner and then gone on his way and dominated again. I mean, there is a reason why he's been able to do this so long. I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's just going to disappear. But if he doesn't fix this in the time allotted, then you're going to have to make some adjustments. He doesn't owe it to Craig Kimbrel just because he's a closer. No, he has to do what's best for the team. And if that's going to Ryan Brazier, that's going to Matt Barnes, that's going to Eovaldi tonight, then you have to do that. Anyway, I'm Rob Bradford, taking you all the way up till the pregame show with Mike Benansky, then obviously Joe and Tim. Joe was just in here doing interviews about him falling out of a chair. So I'm sure that story will keep living and living and living, which I just saw a video of, and it's great. The thing that was most impressive about that call, when Joe's making the call, in case you didn't know, Joe makes the call, Bregman hits the ball, Benintendi makes the catch, and Joe, in the middle of the call, falls out of the chair. And, I mean, when he falls out of the chair, I mean, he fell out of his chair. He fell down on his back. He's on the floor. And he still gets up, and he makes the call. He finishes the call. What a pro. Anyways, I'm Rob Bradford, once again, taking you all the way up to the top of the hour of the pregame show. 617-779-7937. I see you all lined up, so get back to the calls. Brennan from Maine. Brennan, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to say, I heard earlier that, and I think this was the previous show today, but I heard that they were talking about Kimbrel's 4-for-4 in the postseason, but I just wanted to make the point that I don't think it has anything to do with his ability to pitch in this postseason, because he's been really anything close to a liability. But I think the reason why he's done so well numbers-wise is because of guys like Andrew Benintendi, who dive in left field and save the game.
Well, sure. I mean, let's look at the first out he got. The Tony Kemp play into right field where Mookie Betts spins and throws him out would have been a double to lead off the inning.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep. I also wanted to say that I think tonight with Price on the mound, I think, and I heard you say there's nothing left to say about Price earlier. And I agree with that, except I would say if he can perform tonight, this would be the biggest start probably in his entire career, because if he get the win tonight, he gets to see the World Series. So,
there's no question. And Brennan, thanks for the call. There's no question. I mean, obviously this is the biggest start of his career, but we keep saying that about David Price, so it's weird. And when we were interviewing David Price after the game last night, he's holding his young son and smiles, very, very happy. They had just won. We saw the video of him in the bullpen celebrating in the last out. This is a happy David Price. This is a David Price that feels good about themselves. And maybe this is the difference, where you don't have the leading up to a start and all the talk and the press conference like we saw leading into game two, where it was kind of gave off the vibe of what else do you want me to say? This was just, hey, yo, I'm happy to be pitching. It's cool that I'm going to be pitching. And you know what? He can, if he doesn't pitch well, you know what? He has an out, sort of. I mean, I've only pitched on 3 days rest two times in my career, and I threw 30 warm-up pitches the night before. I don't know. But it doesn't feel like the story is David Price here, because it really isn't. How many times have we seen the starting pitching be the story of these games? Every time we think it is, it's not. It's just not. That's not how baseball's going, and that's not how these series are going. Jeff from Maine, what's going on, Jeff? Jeff, you there? Jeff? Dennis from Milton, if Jeff is gone. John from Worcester.
Hey, guys.
Is this John?
Yeah, this is John.
Hey, John, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys? You guys said there was nothing left to say about David Price. Well, I got one.
Well, I said that. I'm sitting here in the booth by myself.
You said that. Get rid of the bum.
Okay.
This guy is a bum. Pedro Martinez isn't walking through the door. Johnny Lester isn't walking through the door. I don't know why they didn't keep John Lester, by the way. I'd much rather have Johnny pitching than Price. But that being said, I believe this series is being won by Alex Cora and the defense, and don't forget Bradley's bat. Other than that, they're done. David Price ain't winning tonight.
Well, John, I'll say this again, is that you can feel that way about David Price, and most people have felt that way with David Price the last couple of years. As we sit here, John, right now, the way that the postseason's rolling out, you just said it. It almost doesn't matter. Rick Porcello started a game last night. Is anyone talking about Rick Porcello's outing last night? No, that's not how these games are won and lost.
You know, Dombrowski should have tightened up the bullpen, did something, made a move to help out pitching, but he did nothing. Absolutely zero.
All right, I will say this, John. Okay, all right. This is an easy narrative, and it's a weirdly timed narrative for you to bring up. But, John, before you go, I want to say this. You are in your rights, and we've said it, about making the move for the bullpen arm, like Joaquin Soria or whoever, okay? But, John, if you're going to rip Dombrowski, you also have to take a look at who he got. Nathan Eovaldi and Steve Pearce in particular. I mean,
Agreed. They
would Eovaldi not be in the position. I guarantee you they would not be in the position they are right now. Forget about the regular season, the postseason, if not for those very, very key guys. Pearce may be his best offensive, most consistent offensive guy leading to last night, and we know what Eovaldi's done. So you got to give Dombrowski credit in that respect.
I give him credit for that, but I think they could have did something to tighten up that bullpen, because the way things are going now, I mean, like I said, Alex Cora and Bradley's bat and defense, that's what's winning these games.
Well, I think it's more, John, I think it's more. John, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. You know, it's Alex Cora is doing a good job. Jackie Bradley has turned it on of late. He's playing very well. I mean, we could go down the list of reasons why they're in this spot. And it's more than those things. It just is. And if you want to pick out those things, that's fine. But last night was a perfect example. Yeah, Jackie Bradley hits the big home run. Absolutely. But if Benintendi doesn't get a couple key hits, if he doesn't make the catch, if Mookie Betts doesn't do what he did, I said it at the time, that play where Joe West said it was fan interference, that might have been the best play, the most important play of Mookie Betts' career, and he didn't even make the catch just to put himself in that position to actually have fan interference. Not a lot of players would have ever done that. Did you see the still shot of that, of how athletic, how far he got up there, how he was able to time that to actually make it a possibility that the fan would grab his glove? I mean, that can't be underestimated. So we can go down a long list. And tonight, now we have to figure out who the next guy. Mutt has his keys to the game, or the guy that picked the click or whatever. He nailed it with Benintendi. Tonight, I'll put myself on the line. I'll say Eovaldi. I think Eovaldi is going to be the fascinating one here, because we talk about the guy coming in from the bullpen. I mean, Eovaldi could be a very, very impactful guy coming out of the bullpen if they have the lead or if it's tied. All right, Ralph from Cranston. What's going on, Ralph?
Hey, Rob, the previous caller acts like they got swept by the Yankees. This is phenomenal. They're up 3-1.
That was a bizarre call.
It's brutal. You know, I don't care who's starting. They're winning this series with their bats. It's just like Hint said. This team keeps coming and coming and coming. So I don't really care about Price or anybody else they're pitching. They've won it with their bats. That's how they have to do it. I really think, Rob, that Sales is hurting him. They babied him all year. You know, some people are saying, well, he always does this in the postseason. They didn't play him much at all the last month. I think his arm is not right. That's not the Sale we saw the other night. And Kimbrel shot himself out of town, and they have to keep going to him. You got to keep going. That's what you got. But for what he's going to want, keeping in mind that they have to re-sign Eovaldi, too. Eovaldi just made himself a ton of money. Kimbrel's going to want a ton of money, his agent.
Yeah, they're not re-signing Kimbrel.
Like Robinson. No, they're not going to. He shot himself out of town now.
Right? Yeah, I think it was before. Honestly, Ralph, it was before that. You just didn't allocate that much money to a closer.
For what he wants, they're going to let him go. Right. You know, well, Ralph, like Robinson at the Yankees. Look, I'd love to see them grab him.
Yeah, Ralph, we got to run. We're up against a little bit. Okay, we got a couple more calls here. We're going to try to get to them, but first we got to take a break because we have Mike Menansky at the top of the hour, so we'll be back right after this. All right, we only got a couple of minutes here. We're going to go. Let's take Mike from North Providence right out of the gate. Is Mike there? Mike?
Hi, no? Rob.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Hey. We got to be real quick, though. We're up against a little bit, Mike.
Yeah, no problem. You know, last night we, talked about Bregman, and we saw, they pitched to him. I mean, that's what happens. You move the guys to the numbers.
Yeah, they pitched right to him, right? I mean, they didn't do what they had been doing. They actually went after him last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's the new paradigm. Bat first or second, if you want to get a guy who pitches, that works for Judge. As far as tonight's game, I just want to insulate the main guys in the bullpen. Anybody who pitched last night, with the exception of Erod, I don't want out there. Hopefully, Price and Erod, Workman, Hembree can kind of get us through this one. And if they need a save, then, yeah, use Barnes. But other than that, maybe, if it's worthwhile, Evaldi.
Oh, but, I think Evaldi's going to be in this game. I just do. I do, yeah, Mike.
I mean, as long as they just – if it's worthwhile to bring them in, sure. But I don't want them fighting to the bitter end in a game like this. I want them going fully loaded for 6 and 7. So, thanks.
Yeah, well, Mike, thanks for the call. Enjoy the game tonight. And I want to say that to everybody. Enjoy the game tonight. I mean, this is – take a step back. This is the last time that Red Sox have been in this situation. It's been 5 years. Obviously, like I said, 11 years ago tonight, you had that game where Josh Beckett took it to the Indians and the Red Sox came back from 3-1. Series isn't over, people. That's why you should listen. That's why you should pay attention. Some great games so far. Going to be another great one. And we're going to kick it off. Mike Mananski, pregame show leading to Joe and Tim with a call on the Shaw Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. I'm Rob Bradford. I will talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.